Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalu.
Every Wednesday we do this. It is sex therapy time.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
And today we're going to be talking about attachment styles. And joining me on the line is our wonderful resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning. How are you?
I'm brilliant, Jen. What about you?
I'm not too bad. We were talking about relationships earlier on in the context that friendships, is it the right thing to do? You know, telling that friend that you're madly in love with them, or is it just potentially disastrous? What do you think?
It can be both, for sure. I think it's a good thing to probably weigh up how important the friendship is to you, because we have a tendency, a massive tendency in our society to view romantic relationships as more important than friendships. So often we can end up putting, a very, very good relationship in sort of jeopardy or really changing it just because we happened to have, you know, romantic or sexy feelings for that person. So I think it's a very good thing to weigh up how important the friendship is to you, how you communicate, you know, and also their attachment style, which we're going to be talking about today, because that'll probably tell you a bit about how they're likely to respond if you tell them that you fancy them.
Okay, well, let's get to it. So what are attachment styles?
Yeah, so basically attachment styles are the patterns that we tend to, the ways that we tend to feel and respond in relationships, especially closer relationships. And I suppose most of attachment theory in adults anyway is based on romantic relationships, but it actually holds for all of the relationships in our lives. And so basically, as I said, it's the pattern of attachment and of emotions and behavior that sets off when our loved ones, especially when they move away from us or when they move towards us. So this starts in childhood. There's been a lot of research done over and over again on babies and how they attach to their mothers. And so then that then usually tends to apply to our adult relationships as well. So you've got basically two camps. You've got secure attachment and you've got insecure attachment. And then within insecure attachment, we can break that down into three further subtypes. When you've got what they're called as anxious, and that's sometimes called ambivalent or preoccupied. Then you've got avoidant, which is also called dismissive. And then you've got disorganized, which is sometimes called fearful avoidant. So you can kind of tell even a little bit from the names how that means someone is going to respond. So someone who has a secure attachment type or style, they tend to be comfortable in a warm, loving and emotionally close relationship. They feel able to depend on their partner. They allow their partner to depend on them. And they're available for their partner in times of need. So then you have the more anxious type. So they tend to be constantly worried about rejection and abandonment. They're very preoccupied with their romantic relationships. They're hypervigilant. They will be seen as needy. I don't love that word at all, because I think we all have needs, but clingy or needy would be this type of words that will often characterize people with very anxious attachment. So they require a lot of reassurance and they really want to be super close with their partner, which can sometimes scare their partner away.
Can we have can we have a fulfilling and happy relationship with someone who is in the insecure attachment style camp?
Yeah, you absolutely can. You know, it's not that it's not possible. It's just that it's often going to be more hard work, because the further away that one or both people are from secure, it just means that it's going to be more work, because the anxious, the person who's more anxiously attached, and obviously it doesn't have to be opposites. You can have two people in a relationship who are both anxiously attached. You can have two people who are avoidant. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that tends to be the roller coaster effect when you combine one person who's anxious and one person who's avoidantly attached, because you're both setting off each other's fears. You know, an anxiously attached person fears abandonment and rejection, and the avoidantly attached person fears being sort of engulfed and suffocated and losing their independence. So often you get those two who will feel a real spark and connection to each other, but very quickly will have a lot of arguments, feel very distressed with each other, and that can be a disaster. So it's definitely not that you can't date someone who has an insecure attachment style. It's just going to be harder work, and without lots of awareness and communication around your general communication styles and conflict styles, you're just going to run into a lot of trouble.
So would you say the ideal coupling is like the yin and yang effect? You know, like if let's say if Lau is really in the secure camp and I'm like miles away down the other end, the insecure, dismissive camp, is that like a good thing? Does that balance it out?
No, because they won't be attracted to each other. You know, someone who's very insecure attachment is going to find someone secure quite boring.
Yeah,
that tends to be the case. And someone who's very secure is going to find someone who has very insecure attachment. They're going to find them either very chaotic or they just can't get close to them at all. So, you know, what I think what most of us are trying to do is slowly move towards being more secure ourselves and to also date people who tend towards being more secure. And again, you know, that's not everyone. It's like, apparently from all the research, it says that roughly 50% of people are secure. But in my experience, it's nowhere close to that. And also, no one is going to fit only into one camp. You know, if you read about the attachment styles, you'll start to recognize, OK, I sound more avoidant and, you know, that my partner's more anxious. But that's not necessarily the case across all your relationships. You might be pretty secure in your friendships and in your family relationships, but you might be avoidant at work and you might be quite anxious in your romantic relationships. So that's another thing to look out for.
Yeah. Speaking of which, how do you know which one you are? What kind of questions should Anita be asking herself out there who's listening, or whoever, or me? What should we be asking ourselves? What kind of questions to figure out where we are in the camp?
Well, think about, like, what are you like in when you think about being in a long-term, or it doesn't have to be long-term, but just a close relationship with someone. It's usually easiest to think about in a romantic relationship. But, like, do you tend to feel, you know, sort of squicked out and a bit disgusted if you find that someone is asking for, you know, reassurance, or if they seem like they want, you know, extra attention? Do you find that enjoyable? Do you feel quite balanced about that? Are you able to assert, like, you know, I don't have the space right now, but you're still able to reassure them? You know, so you'll kind of know by the words. Do you tend to feel very worried a lot that the relationship's going to end? Do you not feel good enough? Do you feel like your partner is trying to get away from you? You know, it's not necessarily that even that you're inaccurate, that you're wrong about those things. It's more just where your mind tends to go. Are you looking for more closeness, or are you looking for more space? You know, people who are very avoidantly attached tend to not put a huge amount of importance on their relationships. So, you know, often you'll find that they focus much more on their careers and hobbies and things. And so, you know, that can just feel really confusing. If you're
they
can absolutely change. So, you know, it takes a good bit of hard work and awareness, and usually doing, you know, a lot of work on yourself and your communication with your partners, and usually some therapy if you have a fairly to very insecure attachment style. But it absolutely can change, you know, and especially if you're going to date people who are more secure than you, you've got the best chance of sort of leveling up to being more secure, and that will probably make you more secure in, you know, kind of relationships after that as well.
How do attachment styles relate to sex then?
Well, again, you can probably guess, people who tend towards being more secure are generally going to be
better in bed.
You know, well, they might not be. It depends what you call better. Like, they're going to tend to be more like reasonably open minded. They're going to feel fairly confident. They're going to be quite good at expressing themselves. They'll have a good idea of what they want and what they need. So all those things are great. Someone who's anxiously attached is going to be more likely to have sex for validation. They're going to be more likely to do what the other person wants in order to try and please them and make them happy. They're not going to necessarily be great at talking about what they like. Then someone who's very avoidantly attached is probably not going to want much intimacy or emotion during sex, because that's going to set them off and make them feel sort of, you know, suffocated or bothered. But it doesn't mean that you can't have great sex with someone who has very insecure attachment. It can potentially have a lot of spark, a lot of imagination. It might be very kinky. It might be feel quite anonymous and exciting. There could be a lot of mystery there. But again, over time, you're probably going to find that someone who's more securely attached, you're just going to feel better about yourself and be able to explore more and enjoy more and laugh more in bed.
So do you think, with regards to relationships, identifying your own attachment style is imperative for success in any relationship and their attachment style?
Oh, absolutely vital. You know, I'm not saying that anyone should go around sort of diagnosing other people, but you can get a good sense from someone by, you know, you can tell in the first few dates by how much someone shares about themselves. If they tend to share a huge amount, if they feel like an oversharer or a word vomiter, they're probably quite anxiously attached. If they don't really give much away about themselves and their, you know, inner life and their relationships at all, they're probably more avoidant. And then, you know, if you have someone who's just seems like they're kind of erratic and quite unpredictable and all over the place, then they're probably more disorganized in their attachment, which is that final style, which usually comes when people have had, you know, very, very difficult upbringings, often had a lot of abuse in their childhoods, where they'll be basically a mixture of anxious and avoidant. You know, then you can also tell by someone how someone talks about maybe their relationship with their parents. You know, it doesn't have to be a good relationship, because obviously they could have a very, you know, they could have a just a, for all sorts of reasons, a difficult relationship with their parents. But you can get an idea from how someone talks about things like their parents and their past relationships as to how balanced a view they have of their part in it. You know, and it just tells you much more about their self-awareness. Also, if they're idealizing you, you know, we've talked a lot before about love bombing people who
you hate
have
that.
Narcissism. Tendencies. You know, if someone is seeing you in a very, very idealized way, very early on, telling you that they're in love with you, that you're their soulmate, that will probably tell you that they have an insecure attachment style. It could be any of the insecure styles, although it might tend to be towards avoidant, where someone, you know, views someone in this very, you know, perfectionistic light to begin with, and then they start to back away when that person becomes more real to them. But absolutely, having a good idea of your own, and you can do lots of tests online, there's loads of books out there, loads of great resources, get an idea of your attachment style, and then how to work towards being more secure. And then also that just makes it a lot easier to recognize in all of your relationships, not just romantic, what sort of style the other person is.
Yeah, everything.
And it's just it's going to be a lot less, it's a lot less faff and a lot less strife when you understand where someone is coming from. Because if you really can't relate, if you're someone who's more anxious and you tend to be attracted to people who are more avoidant, you're just going to feel crap. Like, you're going to feel like people don't care about you, like you don't matter. You're going to feel needy, clingy. You're going to feel, you know, disgusted with yourself. So just having that awareness just can take out a lot of stress in your relationships.
I have a text in for you. It says, "Hi, Jen. I'm with my partner for 12 years this February, and still to this day, he is so insecure. He questions me constantly. Where am I? Or if I dress nice, why am I dressing like that? I've never shown any reason for him to worry, but it still gets to me. Any advice on how to reassure him? Thanks."
Yeah, so I would say there's only so much you can reassure another person, because at the end of the day, that's their own insecurity. I'm not saying we should abandon people and not be reassuring and be, you know, straightforward and upfront. But realistically, you know, what that person's talking about is controlling behaviors. And so we have to be aware of
that's
that
different.
And,
okay.
You know, talk to them about it. It is. And so just, you know, it is related. It can often be related to anxious attachment. But what we need to do there is talk to our partner about, you know, in times where they feel sort of more calm and regulated and we're not in the middle of an argument, or they're not in the middle of feeling, you know, particularly insecure or being worried about being rejected, that we talk about how we would like to manage those conversations, you know, preferably them going and getting some extra support to be able to work out, not just work out where this came from. Usually it's pretty easy to work out where it came from. It'll be from our, you know, experiences we had with our caregivers, with our parents in childhood, but that be able to sort of work out what you want to do to kind of manage that better going on. Because exactly that, you can end up working your arse off trying to reassure someone, trying not to trigger them, trying to, you know, either have them feel close to you or not have them feel too crowded, and you can just end up getting absolutely exhausted trying to do the right thing when, you know, when you're talking about someone's ingrained attachment style. A bit of reassurance isn't going to cut the mustard. It's not going to be enough. So you've got to talk to them about how they can take responsibility for that while also sort of, you know, getting your own needs met as well.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. Always a pleasure. And I just want to say to you guys, if you have any more questions or texts, or if there's anything you want Rachel to discuss, please email the team, jen@rte.ie. Before I let you go, Rachel, I just got a text in. I'm going to put it to you because it says, "Dear Jennifer, I have a very important question for you, your team, your listeners, Rachel. When is it too early to start on the mimosa? I'm trying to untangle the Christmas lights, which were obviously put away by my husband last year, as we were meant to be travelling to Australia December 18th. The decorations were happily put away for what we thought was 2 years. Now I find myself losing the will to live. What do you think, Rachel?
Well, is mimosas, are mimosas only for Christmas periods? I don't know about that.
No, well, that's good advice. But I think start while untangling the Christmas tree lights. I think you can drink mimosa. I think that's a given, isn't it?
I think so.
I think so.
How else are you supposed to untangle Christmas
There's
lights?
There's no other way. There's no other way. But listen, Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. Thank you for that. We'll see you next week.
See you, Jen.
Thanks, love. Bye. That's Rachel Cook. And you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And she'll be back next week. And like I said before, if you have any questions you would like us to put to her, she is phenomenal. Just get in touch with the team 24/7. Jen at rt.ie.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.